On this episode of On Call, today's topic, it's really about taking a break.
When do you know you need to take a break?
I don't want to do it!
Because if I do, I'll cry.
Do it.
Justin!
Hey everybody, and welcome to On Call with Justin,
Jacko,
Danny,
and Inka.
On Call
with Justin, Jacko, Danny, and Inka.
We're back!
Dang!
Ayoko na! Goodbye!
After that long twisting, turning,
exactly how I feel.
Winding story spine.
What, Danny? What about
we are back to regular programming.
Regular programming? Are you sure?
Sort of.
Are we?
Because it seems like we're about to leave our regular programming.
Oh.
I mean, don't you guys feel it? It's like after a long while of just using your brain, after a while, it doesn't work now. It doesn't want to work anymore.
Also, people think that what we do for a living is easy. It is easy to a certain degree, right? Like we don't require a lot of physical work. But the brain, as Inka put it, it gets jammed, it gets tired, it gets locked.
What we do, a lot of it isn't really mindless or repetitive. There are no formulas per se. So we always have to try to think of something new.
We're always on. Yeah.
Yes. It's always a very conscious effort. Because otherwise, if we aren't, then it's going to be a sloppy show. I mean, we can do it kind of like autopilot, but it's not going to be a good one.
It's not just On Call, right? Like we have our own individual things we deal with outside On Call.
Yeah.
So I think for today's topic, it's really about taking a break.
Yeah. Like when do you know you need to take a break? Do you even listen to your body?
When do you know?
We were on a break!
Just kidding. Oh, there's Danny. Danny, when do you know? I think Danny needs a break, Jacko, no?
Yeah, you know there are many kinds. Some people take a break when it's just enough, right? They can't take it anymore and they're forced to exhaustion. And I feel kasi it's really about knowing your body and knowing your mind because you know that after this break, you're going to move forward, but you're not quitting. The idea is not to quit. It's to learn how to take a break and to take a step back. But there are people that go to exhaustion, especially creators. A lot of creators, they're like, I'm done. And then, you know what? They never come back.
Yeah.
Diba?
Like JoJo.
Yeah, exactly.
Where is JoJo nowadays? Like that girl was so huge.
Who?
JoJo.
The singer?
She's
pretty active. I've seen her in social media. She's kind of
active. Is she active again?
Not like before, diba? But yun nga eh, the problem with some creators, a lot of creative minds, they push themselves to exhaustion to the point that it really eliminates the drive. And I've always believed that if you want to take a break, take a break, right? Take a 2-week break, take a 3-week break, but know that you're going to come back. I used to be in production, so it's always going to be like, okay, a season break. But we're already working on the second season, but we're going to take our time off a little bit. Some people get lost na because of exhaustion.
Yeah, that's the burnout. I saw this post. It said, if you don't choose a day to rest, your body will choose it for you.
Oh, that's
yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Either your brain or your body will choose it for you, right?
Uh-huh.
With my first panic attack, and I didn't see it coming at all, right? I was freaking asleep, dude. It happened in my sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Yeah.
That's crazy.
It woke me up. And so the one time that I did see a therapist, and she's super helpful, by the way, she said that, your body was so tired already, but your brain is so go, and so goal-oriented or whatever, that like it just kept fighting the rest.
Yeah.
But then at some point, one of the two is going to give, and then, you know…
And that's it.
You'll
really
need to take time off because of it.
Mm-hmm. Usually, it's something that you learn through experience because… That's something that happened to me too. Like the whole of April, I did not do any work because in the beginning, I had a mini breakdown. I had like lots of panic attacks leading up to that. And I called my manager. I was like, Betsy, I can't. I was on the floor. I had my phone on my chest and I was like, Bads, I can't. And then she's like, okay. So she canceled or like postponed a lot of the events that I was supposed to host or like make appearances at.
Wow.
Yeah, because I could not. And then the whole month, she didn't message me. She wanted to check in on me. Yeah. She didn't.
But what was it, Inka? Like, you just were overwhelmed. You just couldn't.
Everything. Yeah. Overwhelmed. I've already mentioned to you guys, I've been going to therapy recently. And apparently, a lot of my breakdowns before were because I'm dealing with PTSD. And when that was happening, I didn't know I had it. So, you know, when you go undiagnosed, it's a lot of these fears in your head din eh, na parang, what? I'm really like this? Or you don't know. So you don't know what to do, where to begin. So therapy was one of those things na it has improved the quality of my life so much. I wish I'd done it sooner.
Yeah.
I'm just really happy to be diagnosed because now that I have an actual diagnosis, so like I have an anxiety disorder and I have PTSD. So now that I know, I can do something about it and I feel vindicated. I feel validated and I'm happy because at least, I'm not really like this pala and it will get better.
Yeah.
It's just because of my condition. Mm-hmm. So now that I have all of these, I'm armed with this information. Now I know to really watch out for myself. I need to take rests or else the same thing in April will happen.
Yeah. You know what? I'm noticing a reoccurring theme here about like both of you discovering that you had this or the basi Justin was your panic attack, right? And then Sinka, it was your realization of PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
So out of curiosity, how is it knowing about it and then actually knowing that you have it or experienced it in person, like yourself? Diba? Kasi it's like maybe you read about something versus when you actually experience it. Like, could you shine your experience?
Yeah.
Mm.
So first, my tita used to get panic attacks a lot. So when I'd be around, she'd be like, Justin, come here, pray over me. Come on, pray over me.
I've asked you that for me too.
Or just like, get my brown paper bag so I can, you know, inhale, exhale into it kind of thing. And I always thought, like back then, and when I was a teenager, maybe early 20s also. Back then, I was just like, what is that? How is that even possible for anyone to feel that way? And like back then I was discovering psychosomatism, right? I was like, it's probably a psychosomatic thing.
Yeah.
Like they probably think that like the world is ending or something. And so it's just manifesting, something like that. And then later on, my other cousin started having panic attacks. And then my other cousin started having panic attacks. And I was just like, why? Stop it. Why are you guys, what's happening to you guys?
Yeah, because from an outsider looking in.
Yeah.
Well, at least
it makes sense, right?
Yeah, parang ano yan? OA lang ba yan? Ano ba yan? Yeah. Like, is that really how you feel? Parang baka naman OA ka lang, di ba?
Yeah.
That's how it feels from an outsider.
Yeah.
At least not experiencing it, di ba?
Yeah. So when it finally happened to me, number one, I didn't know that that's what it was. And I noticed that my triggers were when I was in a tight space and when I felt hot. So actually, it was a lot more harmful for me before I knew what they were, because I was diagnosing myself. That's a very dangerous thing. You go online and you just type down your symptoms, whatever you're feeling, and then it's, it's probably
and then
this or that.
WebMD says you have cancer.
Something like that, right?
Tapos psych major ka pa, so you feel a little bit credible.
Exactly. I have a degree in psychology for sure. I know what
I should be able to diagnose myself.
So before that, I thought that I had claustrophobia. Like I thought that I was developing literal claustrophobia.
Yeah.
And when I started reading about it, it really freaked me out. Let's say like just being alone in my bed, in my room, like even reading the word claustrophobia, but my eyes got bigger and then like I looked around the room and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm alone
here.
Yeah. You know what I could hear? The Kill Bill. Wee.
But it's scary, you know, Jess. It's scary because when you self-diagnose,
anything
is possible.
True.
Yeah.
And then adding the psychosomatism aspect to it too, right? I mean, there are a lot of hypochondriacs out there as well. And I think a huge part of that is
Photosynthesis.
Photosynthesis, yeah. So for those of you who don't know, hypochondriacs are
the powerhouse of the cell.
Yes, mitochondria. They're exactly the same as mitochondria.
Yep.
Hypochondriacs are in Tagalog praning, di ba?
Praning.
Praning lang
sila. Kayo na pa kayo kasi nagbe-big words eh.
Yeah. So hypochondriac is
germophobes, yeah.
They'll read something about a disease and then they'll feel like they have it na.
And they're overly cautious about it.
Yeah.
So for example, any little ailment, I gotta call my doctor na. Yun. So at first I thought it was claustrophobia, but then they started to happen again and again. And they would happen while I was driving. Okay?
Oh wow.
Especially in traffic and everything. And I was just like, oh man, like I need to seek help for this now because
it's affecting your life.
It's affecting my life and my work. So for example, I'm an events host. What if I'm up on stage hosting an event
and
then
you
all
get
of
it.
A sudden I get it? What's that going to look like, diba? And so I really needed to make sure that, you know, I got to get maintenance and seek professional opinion. So I booked my first therapy session. So freaking expensive. My gosh.
Yeah.
Like, it's a commitment, dude. And it was in the South, but I live in the North. So I was like, okay, fine. I'll pay for 2 hours, which is even more expensive, right? But I was like, yeah, but thinking about having to come here again and then all these things. I was like, might as well do 2 hours. But that's all that I needed. After that one session, she pretty much told me everything that was going on in me. And she said that I was having mild panic attacks or anxiety attacks, one of the two. But definitely, like, it was something that I needed to get under control. And she was telling me, kasi, that in your brain, you have the limbic system, right? So limbic kasi is like the fight or flight. And then you have the prefrontal cortex, which is
that
in
governs
charge,
the higher, I know.
Yeah, higher thinking, which is in charge of like more logical thinking. Mm-hmm. That's your prefrontal cortex. And your prefrontal cortex is only fully formed when you hit the age of 25. Mm-hmm. Something like that. So average is around 25.
Oh, and nga pala, I learned that from you.
And then you have your limbic system, which is all fight or flight. So imagine before the age of 25, your limbic system is in control. It's like everything is life or death. I need to do this because if not, it's going to be the end of the world kind of thing. That's when your actions are probably a little bit more irrational. You're more free-spirited perhaps. That's when you're
tied to emotion, eh, diba? Like mostly, it's mostly emotion.
Mm-mm. Most likely to jump off of a plane, you know, paragliding, whatever it is. All the skydiving, bungee jumping. So before the age of 25, because your limbic system is still pretty much in control, all these fight or flight, high risk activities are really on the table for you. So she said that when you have a panic attack, your limbic system, that fight or flight, is what takes control of your body. So that's why when you're presented with a trigger, like say for me, it was being stuck in traffic, which is the terrible trigger in the Philippines, right? There's so much traffic everywhere. My prefrontal cortex or the logical side of my brain shuts off. And then the limbic system, the fight or flight,
takes over.
Let's get out of here.
You're in danger. Yeah.
Open the door. Why won't the door open? Let's
You can't breathe. You're going to die.
Yeah. Back then I was 31. Let's just say 30. She was like, you have to cut yourself more slack. Okay. Because your prefrontal cortex or your logical brain has only been in control for 5 years. Okay. Imagine having to offset the 25 years prior of conditioning that your limbic system had, that fight or flight. So she said, it's okay. Ever since she told me that, told me the techniques, the breathing and everything, grounding, being thankful. She said, she also told me that scientists are only now discovering what was in the Bible for a long time, which is thankfulness. That thankfulness goes a long way in centering your life, really. So she said that that's one of the things that I should do if I'm having a panic attack is to count the things I'm grateful or thankful for. Because if it's all panic and it's all fear, then you're going to feel like you're in this dire situation, right? And then you're just kind of drowning. So take a step back, take a deep breath. Be like, you know what? Okay, I may be stuck in traffic, but I'm thankful that at least I have a safe ride to get to my destination. That I don't have to be cramped in the MRT or something and even more sweaty, naka sardinas ako with everyone else kind of thing.
I've experienced having a panic attack in the MRT.
Gosh. Wow.
Yeah. So your therapist told you, right, to do the thankfulness thing. It's a grounding practice, diba? I do grounding techniques also. And those things include like think about things that you can hear. Things that you can hear or feel or see or smell. Yeah. Just like to keep you in the present. Yeah. Because what happens in a panic attack is you feel like you're about to die. Like you really feel like you're dying. You can have panic attacks even if you don't have an anxiety disorder. You can get anxiety or panic attacks. It becomes a disorder when it happens so often. A few times I had to get rushed to the ER because I was in such a state where I was super hyperventilating, where my fingers and toes were already all curled up and I was stiffening up.
It mimics heart attack nga daw minsan.
Yes, that's what it feels like. Like I was getting oxygen in the ER and I was saying goodbye to my dad. Ganon. I was like, I love you. Like I was saying, I love you now. That's like, it was so bad.
Man.
Yeah, it gets insane. From an outsider's point of view, it looks like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, no, I was dating someone who had panic attacks. And from my point of view, I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Like, why? And I'm also extra sensitive to those things because, yun na nga, we studied this, diba? So if I wasn't someone who studied it, then I'd be extra like, what the hell? But the fact that I know it exists, so I'm a little bit more understanding.
Less, what the
hell? I'm less judgy.
I'm not like, what the hell? I'm like, what the hell? Like, you know?
More like, what the hell?
And yeah, that also reminds me of this thing that I read recently, a tip to help with anxiety attacks. Of course, you guys being the ones who have experienced it can say if this actually helps. But this is something I read. Sabi daw, you first look around you and then you find 5 things that you can see.
There.
Those are
and then 4 things that you can touch.
Mm.
3 things that you can hear.
Mm-hmm.
2 things that you can smell.
Mm-hmm.
1 thing that you can taste.
Yeah.
So parang, an MRT. Parang,
blood like, in my mouth.
And then you're going through the senses down.
And then
you
realize you can't taste.
And that's what you call apparently grounding, right?
Yeah.
And it can help with the way you feel and if you've lost control.
Yeah, because it helps bring you back to the present. So mine is a lot of hugging and talking to myself and patting myself and saying, it's okay, there's nothing wrong, there's nothing wrong. Because you have to keep telling yourself it, because that's what your brain thinks. It's there's something wrong. Like, no. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. You have to override it.
Yeah.
It's
insane. I mean, you can spin a top and know that you're not an inception in a dream world. But
so you're fighting yourself, technically.
No, but it's true. Other than that, I mean, you can play memory games. You could recite something. And we've all done this before without knowing that these are grounding techniques. We've done something similar. And that's why therapy is so good. For me, kasi, I've always believed that when you have illness, right? Any kind. Right, and when you have something that's ailing you physically, you know when to treat it. You know how to treat it. You know that if you can't treat it, you have someone check it. With anything mental,
and you know that you should rest.
You know you like, should rest. Same thing.
If you have a sprain, right, Justin?
Yeah. You don't stand on it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Sure.
And when it's mental, then you have to do the same thing. I think there's a stigma of going to a doctor about it, wherein. Mm-hmm. Just hearing both your stories, but knowing what is ailing you helps you fix
navigate it.
Maybe not completely fix it, but at least make your life easier, better. For the sake of the audience, like ever since you guys started going to your therapist, how has it been?
It's a trial and error a lot of the time then with therapy. Like not all therapists are going to go through it the same way. So you're not going to necessarily click with any one therapist that you meet immediately.
You have to find your doctor. Parang ganun.
Yeah, because like I met with a therapist last year in 2020. And she was like, it's okay, iha. You know, a lot of it is just in your head. Don't worry about it. I was like, okay. So I felt awful about that, right? Because I was like, shoot, this is just in my head lang pala. Then it made me feel worse. So I was like, what? There's nothing wrong with me. So why am I like this? I'm just maarte, blah, blah, blah. So when I finally spoke with this therapist that I have now, the last one put me on meds. Also, I didn't also feel good. I was just like, I could not function on whatever she gave me. So I stopped taking that and I stopped seeing her. And then I have this new one now. And I always have to fight the urge to call her Tita because it's so nice to talk to her. She tells me things like, okay, I want you to remember how you got through this. And I want you to remember how strong you are. Okay? This is how strong you are. And you did this. So I'm like, okay. It's so nice to just...
Reassuring.
Yeah, it's reassuring. She is also very validating. She says things like, wow, you've been through a lot, Inka, no? Mga ganon. And sometimes it's just nice to hear na parang, yeah, I have. Instead of what we're all used to when, kunyari, you say I'm tired and someone says, well, I'm more tired than you. You know what I did? And it all of a sudden becomes like a fatigue competition.
Tired
you know?
Off.
And I'm reminded, Deloy, of the days that because I took psych then, diba? So I would spend, even in high school, a lot of my time in the guidance counselor. Not because I was a bad boy, but because wala lang, because I wanted to see possible future careers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And since I was already hell-bent on taking psych, I was like, oh, sige nga, if I take this route, as a guidance counselor, what is it like? And the best people to talk to are those already being guidance counselors.
Sure.
So even in college, I volunteered as a guidance counselor, like official. So I was there a lot. And I got to talk to all the guidance counselors a lot. So it was like free therapy, I guess, as well. But what I noticed was all of them have a distinct talent for listening.
Mm.
And really putting everything down and making this moment about you.
Yes.
And hearing you out. And sometimes that's all you actually needed.
That's so important. I understand like a lot of us, our first instinct when somebody comes to us with problems or whatever, the first thing we do is say, oh yeah, you know what? Me also. Because we feel like that's how we can relate.
Mm.
But
I want you to listen to me.
Yeah. Well, we have to remember that it's their time to share. There's always another time for us. So they came to us because they needed to unload.
Yeah.
So sometimes listening is just the best thing. And that's what I get from my therapist. I'm just so happy. Mm. And then she's a doctor, pa, diba? So she knows how to like go through therapy. So sometimes you see a therapist, you will be okay after like one session or two, like what Justin went through.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need to go through a longer enough therapy, which is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful.
Awesome. Awesome.
It's awesome. Yeah.
So it's interesting then, because I feel like a lot of it is cultural. Why it's not normal.
Yeah.
I guess a lot of our local culture then is like, huh? No, bayan, arte-arte mo. Mais ka nga, diba? Like it's not like something perceived as an actual problem.
Yeah.
And we're very tight with our money as a culture, right?
Mm-mm.
So the last thing you're gonna spend on is something that you think is arte.
Yeah. Diba?
Maybe you can't afford therapy. I consider our Zoom sessions, like every week I get to chat with these four individuals that I have on my Zoom chat.
Hello.
Kind of thing.
Including yourself, yes.
No, but I was thinking about it. Literally, before we had the topic or whatever, I was like, you know what? I feel like this is therapy. And right before the call, kasi we have our check-ins, which are we talk about what we did for the day. And the past week, at least for me, has been crazy. You know, I lost my grandma. But at the same time, it was also my mom's birthday and my sister's birthday. And there's the COVID scare happening and then work issues and all that. And you know, it's great to just talk about it. That's the cheapest therapy is a friend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it is therapy. It is therapeutic. Because we were talking about, oh, it's expensive. And sometimes just talking to people is good. If you have the chance to talk to someone who knows what they're doing, like a therapist, go take it. At least get a diagnosis or at least get an opinion. So
it
at least
helps.
You know how to treat. It does help.
I remember I was telling Inka that if I didn't have my church groups, right? Like my small groups, where we really make a habit of unloading. Of checking in and
unloading, exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah.
And it's also nice that they pray for you even on the spot. Let's say I'm injured and I'm really depressed at the fact I'm injured and I can't run around outside. Then I can't use my body.
Mm.
And then you literally hear someone, you know, praying over you and saying, Lord, thank you for Justin, given his time. We pray for healing for his, let's say, his ankle. And it's so specific. And actually, that's also what you're talking about, the validation ink.
So, yes.
You really feel it as well.
You feel seen, you feel heard.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. Mm-mm. And then they're connecting it to God. But I was telling Inka before that like if I didn't have these small groups, these Bible study groups or whatever for all these years, I probably would have spent so much on therapy already right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because I just
for sure,
I just like need it. But to Jaco's point naman, finding the right people to talk to. And I think it's so imperative to have good friends around you who you can entrust your life with. Because if you're not having these kinds of talks with your friends, then are you really friends?
Mm. It's true.
Maybe you're just super good time friends, na parang inuman friends or fair weather friends, right?
Fair weather friends. We talked about that too.
Yeah. It's so important to have good friends, real friends.
A support group. Like with you in your church or your family or your friends. Yeah. That is the base of anything. This is also why I kind of also don't like it when we're trying to vilify a lot of positivity on the one end, right? Because these people normally, they don't intend to hurt you. They're well-meaning. And to vilify them just erases a lot of these connections. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is important, especially now in a pandemic wherein you have no control of a lot of things. And we talked about this season. We've talked about everything from non-attachment. We've talked about all these other things. And you guys feel free to check out all the episodes since we're on a break. We're on a break. And you know what? Looking back, I hope that if you're listening to our podcast, that you feel like me. You're here. You're listening to all of us. You're a part of this. I feel like whenever I share to these guys here, we're also sharing to you guys. The fact that we're talking about our therapies or us even opening up about our issues. And you could listen since like episode one, season one of this. And we've been talking about all the hardships that we've gone through life. We are sharing it with you guys. And we do hope that this is also therapeutic to you as a listener. And we always encourage this, that if you do have something to say, because obviously this is kind of a one-way speaking engagement, right?
Yeah.
That you do message us. Do email us.
Yes,
we always
please.
Put our email in every episode. We want to listen to what
Which,
you guys have
to
way, say.
Which, by the way, has an I now.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Talk about it, Danny.
Really?
It took some time to fix our email.
Really?
So the email now is what, Danny?
So it's on call with JJD.
gmail.com.
I just want to add, it's important to have a friend, someone that you can talk to, but also it's important that you are honest with yourself and that you're open about how you're feeling and what you're going through. Because even if you have a good friend to talk to, if you don't even talk to people about what you're going through, it doesn't help din eh. You need to
let it out.
Correct.
Yeah, open up. Don't be afraid to open up. And it's interesting because like I've been going through sex education here on Netflix.
Oh, okay. The Netflix. Okay.
On Netflix, yes. And one of the characters there, she is a sex therapist. She's played by Gillian Anderson from The X-Files.
Scully?
Scully. Okay, yeah. And she's amazing. So she was talking to one of the characters who was always very rigid and emotionless, a person. And then she said, and I'm paraphrasing at this point, when parents bully their children, the children see emotions as a weakness. So the response is they turn off their emotions. And that's why some people can be closed off that way.
When parents bully the children don't want to seem weak, so they don't want to show emotions.
Yeah. So they turn off na lang their emotions because it's such a traumatizing thing for them also to be able to go through all those emotions. So parang they turn it off and then they shrink into themselves. Yeah, they bottle it up. They shrink into themselves. They don't want to open up anymore because it's easier to not feel. But it doesn't help. You just end up building walls high enough so that people cannot come in.
Yeah.
Oh, pwede rin yun. So just try to be open. Also, because we can't force anybody to open up naman din, diba? But it's good for you.
To add to that lang, my mom, it was just her birthday. And the one thing I learned is sometimes when you have nothing, talagang you're in the end of your rope. Mm. My mom was always like, just pray. Mm. I know Justin is our resident kind of
paladin,
you know, really
paladin.
On this
paladin. Paladin.
Paladin talaga, yeah. Okay. No, you know what? Ever since, I believe in that and that is true. And that when I'm just in a rut, I pray. I'm not praying because I'm asking for something. I'm looking for a friend. I can.
Yeah, you're talking. You're opening up.
It kind of goes in the same light as when your therapist, Inka, tells you to talk to yourself and go like, it's okay. It's going to be okay. Yeah. So these things, whether you're religious or not religious, you have to talk to someone. You have to open up because talking isn't enough. whatever it is that you need to open up to relax about, your brain, release some tension, some fear, some anxieties, go do it.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest lessons to me, talaga. You pray. Yeah. Whatever it is, you pray.
Yeah.
And you pray really hard. And it's just bound to get better from there.
I guess to tie everything together, like I was reminded then of this thing I heard from a friend, si Oscar actually, just if you remember. Because I was down out of my luck at a time. Remember, this was at the rooftop of the hostel pa. And I was just really not feeling good. Everything was going wrong. He tapped me on the shoulder. He's like, it's okay, bro. Just remember, you just got to retrench. You just got to retrench. And I was like, what do you mean? What does that even mean? Mm. He's like, you know, it's like if you're in a battle, you're fighting, you're losing, go back to the trench. Recuperate. Go back to the trench.
Yeah.
Get your ammo. So now thinking about it, with everything we've been talking about, life is technically like a battle.
Mm-hmm.
We're fighting every day. And alongside us are our friends, our families, right?
Band of brothers.
The people that we should be talking to. And you can't win fights. You can't win battles. You can't win wars without communicating with each other and planning. And
even with yourself. Yes.
Also, right?
Yeah.
And you need to know when to help your brethren or your sisterin.
Thanks.
Yeah, your brother and your sister in, huh?
Your sister.
Don't forget.
You need to know when to help them, when to listen to them, when to talk to them, when to attack, when to retreat, and when to retrench.
Mm-mm.
Yes.
Such is life.
Retrench we shall.
We'll see you in the trenches.
If you get tired, sabi nga nila, learn to rest, not to quit. We are going to go on a break, obviously. Who knows, right? We might have episodes banked. We'll just put... But we're going to be taking a break. Because we need to retrench. And I love that. I love that idea.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking Wonder Woman taloy, diba? But not all of us are Wonder Woman. And we can take off our armor and then walk around and like hit, you know. And then just like get hit with like bullets and like deflect the bullets and stuff. Like we can't, right? We're human. We feel, we get tired, we get exhausted mentally, physically. So yeah, taking a rest doesn't mean you're quitting. It doesn't mean you're ending anything. It just means you know that you're going to move forward again. You need to
I mean, look at your phone. If you don't charge your phone at night, it's not going to function the next day. So.
Oh, trust me. I am the person that doesn't charge his phone. At night. And I wake up every morning like, what? Why is it dead? And I'm just like,
Oh my God, me too. My sister's always like, why do you never charge your phone?
Oh yeah. And it's so funny because I send screenshots to people palagi, like whatever, right? Like, hey, I saw this. And every message is always like, my battery's always like 1%. And they're all like, dude, charge your phone.
Lol.
Maybe to super cap things off, I'm pretty sure a lot of you guys know of this poem. Supposedly by Edgar A. Guest. It's called Don't Quit.
Oh, Edgar Guest.
Yes. I shared that one.
Yeah.
Was it not when the rain show and snow, where I shared
like, it's the one that they do for like CET and stuff. Don't quit.
Did I read that also. On the show before?
Yeah, I read it then on my podcast.
Yeah. I put it on our group. You want to read it?
Thanks Go, Jess.
Go read it. Read it. Yeah. You want to do one word each? And then...
Oh, let's do one word each.
Go read it.
This one's a beautiful poem though. This one really is great.
Yeah.
Why don't you do it then?
Because if I do, I'll cry.
Do it. Go.
All right. So I'll take the first paragraph.
No, take the whole thing, bro.
Why?
Just read it.
Just do it.
You want me to cry?
Yes.
Okay. This is Don't Quit by Edgar A. Guest. See, Don't Quit. Who is the author? I don't know why that's there, but we shall proceed with reading the poem. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you gotta sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about when he might have won had he just stuck out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. you might succeed with another blow. Often, the struggler has given up when his might captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the knight slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. You may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worst that you mustn't quit. Lower music. Ay,
there you go.
Very nice.
We won't quit, but.
But we'll end the show.
Here. Bye.
Yeah. Bye.
Lol. Man, if I read it the way I was supposed to read it, then I would have totally cried.
How can you read it again?
To read it?
Yeah, go.
Oh, I don't want to do it. I read it as if I was reading a nursery poem.
You read it great.
Yeah. Let's do Justin, Jaco, Danny, and Inga.
Okay, let's try.
Pwede. Okay.
All right, here we go. Bye. Don't Quit by Edgar Guest. Read by Justin, Jaco, Danny, and Inga. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will.
When the road you're trudging seems all uphill.
When the funds are low and the debts are high.
And you want to smile but have to sigh.
When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit.
Then again, I'm sorry,
Justin, you took two lines.
I'm sorry. It's how it's...
See, this is an example of not quitting, guys.
Don't Quit by Edgar A. Guest. As read by Justin, Jaco, Danny, and Inga. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will.
When the road you're trudging seems all uphill.
When the funds are low and the debts are high.
And you want to smile but have to sigh.
When care is pressing you down a bit.
Rest if you must, but don't you quit.
Life is queer with its twists and turns.
As every one of us sometimes learns.
And many a failure turns about.
When he might have won if he'd struck it out.
Don't give up, though the pace seems slow.
You might succeed with another blow.
Often the struggler has given up.
When he might capture the victor's cup.
And he learned too late when the knight slipped down.
How close he was to the golden crown.
Success is failure turned inside out.
The silver tint of clouds of doubt.
And you never can tell how close you are.
It may be near when it seems afar.
So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit.
It's when things seem worst that you mustn't quit.
Bow.
So we're not going to quit, but we're out of here for a bit. On call. With Justin, Jaco, Dan.